tonight. That's a timeless truth. We often just dance around the truth rather than talk to them about Christ. It is a timeless truth, my brother. And I pray that you're well today. We've got several things we need to talk about that I'm excited about. As you know, this Friday night, we're taking the teens to a youth rally. We need to leave here at 5:30. Google says at 5:30 in the evening, it'll take us 40 minutes to get to Oakton. So we're going to be there. Brother Kenny Baldwin, who's preached for us before here, will be preaching. Also, if you were not here for the business meeting, we are in the process of looking for an assistant pastor to help work with youth and other things. We've formed a search team. If you did not get a chance to read over the initial profile and job description, you need to do that. You cannot comment on something you've not read, and this is me reading you into it. So don't ever say, well, nobody told me. All right, this is your shot now, okay? If you want to be a part of the process, you got to step up. If you don't, well, then nobody gets to complain. It's kind of like the day when we go to paint the walls, you know? If you weren't here to help, you don't get to complain about the color. If you didn't get involved in the carpet or you didn't get involved in a project, you don't get to complain, okay? This is your shot. All right, if you went to camp, you probably filled out our annual permission slip. That means you won't need one for Friday night's youth rally. Sunday night after church, if you're a parent of a teenager, we're going to be having a parent of teenager meeting. Teens are welcome to sit in on that. We're going to go over what it means about the permission slips and things of that nature and the fall program. We are still on for the Teen Summer Bash barbecue at the Duncan Home on August 12th. If you haven't signed up for that, the sign-up sheet is out there along with student prayer advance. Oh, okay, so that's enough of the business. Let's talk about missionaries tonight for just a second. Miss Key, do you have those pictures I asked you to put up, please? I just received this from Brother. We got this on email. It's Brother Chuck Fernandez. Remember, we raised money to build a church building in Chesoquo. The steel has arrived. They are putting poles in the ground. Go ahead and advance the slide. And they're going to be building their church building now. And we're just praising the Lord for our brothers there in Kenya. And they're going to be putting that, as far as I don't know where they are in the process. I just talked with Brother Chuck that day before yesterday. So that is going well. That's what we wanted. That's why we raised money, was to help them get a building. That is a true, independent, indigenous, autonomous Baptist church. They are have just as much authority to carry out the gospel as we do. They are fully fledged, fully, not because they have a building, but because they have followed biblical principle. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter if their building's made out of steel and mud brick, or whether it's made out of red brick and drywall, or whether it's made out of sheet steel or cardboard in Mexico City. The church is not the building. It's the people. And that's exciting. An update tonight on our missionaries, Amy and Fernando Padilla. They broke down out in the Midwest and at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Indianapolis. And a brother there, they came wheeling in on a prayer with an angel holding the wheels up, and it was making just a terrible racket when they got to the parking lot. They went ahead and had church. And while they were at church, one of the men of the church took their car, took it down to his shop. A couple hours later, replaced the bearings and the belts and the hoses and everything like that, and had it back for them by 9 o'clock that night, ready to go. It's just a blessing, and they're just praising the Lord for God's wonderful, wonderful provision for them. And they are raising support. They're still having churches take them on, but he didn't say what percentage they're at. But it was just a real blessing the way God is taking care of them as they travel on deputation. So they wanted us to have that update tonight. I've talked with Barb and Joe Hanos, and continue to pray for him as he has got hospice working with them. And there's just nothing they can do to make him comfortable. It's my understanding. Isn't that right, Miss Marilyn? Yeah, he's doing better right now. He's sitting up eating M&Ms, so it's not a bad place to be if you're not well. Please, we're going to have a word of prayer also for Kenny Dickman. Kenny Dickman is Becky Lane's brother-in-law. He is at Fairfax Hospital ICU waiting for his blood sugar to level out so they can do, they don't know if they're going to do bypass. They didn't have an answer for me. But he's got two arteries that are 90% clogged. Now, this is Joel and Becky Lane's brother-in-law. Liz Dickman has been to this church several times, and I reach out to him several times a year, try to get him to come, so this might be the opportunity. Yeah, she's a member. But Kenny's been hard to reach, so we'll just need to pray for him. And of course, as you can see, it's Vacation Bible School time. And we're excited at the numbers of people that are already pre-registered. If you've not pre-registered your kids, just go and do it, and that helps us plan. But we've got some big classes. We're going to need some help. This is a great opportunity for you to get involved to reach the community for Christ. Most of the time, we're reaching adults with kids. But this is an opportunity to reach children who happen to got dropped here by adults. Gives me the opportunity to go visit them in their home. This is a huge opportunity for our church. If you've not yet signed up to work, we need you. This is your outreach opportunity. You're a member of this church. This is your outreach opportunity. Get involved. It's a wonderful thing to see kids come to Christ and parents blown away by how simple the gospel is. All right. I want to take a moment and I want to pray for these prayer requests tonight. God said His house would be a house of prayer. And we get away from that a lot because we're in a hurry. But nothing is of any value without it. So let's pray. Our Father and our God, we love you. And tonight we bring up Joe Hanos. We pray, Father, that as he is certainly facing death, God, that he will come to himself and realize his need of a Savior. I pray, Father, you'd save his soul. There's so many things, God, that we could talk about with him that he would rather talk about. But, Father, he needs to discuss his soul with you. I pray, God, that you'd save him. I pray for Kenny Dickman. I pray, Father, you'd save his soul. And, Father, through this illness, I ask, God, that you would show yourself mightily so that he can do nothing but, he can no longer deny you, but to trust you as his Savior and his family, to just be stirred and to call you Lord. Father, we pray for Vacation Bible School that right now, as parents drive by the front of this building and see our sign and our banner, God, that they'll be stirred to sign their children up. And Father, as we've passed out tracts and flyers and personally invited people,
I pray, Father, that you would stir people to come and hear the gospel. We pray, Father, for not only the children's classes, but the teen class that'll be every night that week, as well as the adult class every night that week. And Father, that you would stir people and draw them, that they would be saved. Father, let us be your lighthouse right here on this hill. And God, we pray that you would do something powerful. We are thankful for the testimony of Brother Padilla and his wife. Thank you for the provision of Lighthouse Baptist Church. I ask, God, you would keep them safe as they travel and meet their physical and financial needs. I pray, Father, you would take them to the field quickly. And God, you would open the doors to the hearts and minds and even the schoolhouse and the jailhouse and every place, God, where the gospel needs to go in Germany. And Father, we're thankful for our brothers and sisters in Chisoko. We're thankful to partner with them. Father, as an autonomous church, we pray, God, for your richest blessing upon them, that you would keep them safe from mean men that would do them harm. And Father, that as they build their building, would it be a testimony to their village and all the surrounding villages that you are there and that you are working. And Father, may the gospel go to the dark recesses of that country and that continent. In the face of overwhelming opposition from the Muslims and other tribes, I pray, God, you would just show yourself mightily in our brothers and sisters' behalf. And tonight, Father, as we look to your word, I ask that you would calm the noise of the weak. God, you would open our hearts to your word, and may your spirit write it there in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to go to the 119th chapter of the book of Psalms. Everybody needs a Bible, everybody, including teenagers and children. Go and get you a Bible, please. Psalm 119 and verse 9 is where we'll read verse 9 to start with, and we'll back up just a bit. Psalm 119, it's the largest of all chapters in the Bible. It's 170 plus verses long. It's an incredible chapter. Now, it's unique not only because it's the longest, it's 22 paragraphs and 8 verses each. The first word of each paragraph starts with a Hebrew letter of the alphabet. Just like we sing our ABC song, this is their ABC song. This is how they taught their children the Hebrew alphabet. The first, of course, set of 8 verses starts with A or Aleph, and then the second set starts with B, which is Beth, and all the way down through there are 22 Hebrew language or Hebrew letters. Now, the author is not named, but we assume it is David, and we assume it took him a lifetime to write. It's interesting because in the beginning, it's got this youthful feel to it, but as you get toward the end, there's more of a mature sound in his voice. As I said, each one of these sections, you see it in your Bible, broke out Aleph and Beth and Gimel and Daleth. It's kind of an interesting way because you and I, we in the English language, we rhyme not only with letters, but we rhyme with sounds in the Hebrew. And I'm not fully studied chapter 119, and we won't tonight, but it's kind of a play on words for them in their poetry. It's the chapter I refer to as the Word of God chapter. Because listen up. This verse was 172 verses long, 176. Only 4 of them don't mention the Word of God in some way. Out of 176 verses, only 4 of them don't mention the actual Word of God in some form or fashion. But this is what it would sound like if it was in English. If it was talking about the Word of God, it would say it's accurate in its assessments, it's absolute in its authority, it's binding in its bidding, it's beautiful in its bounty, it's confrontational in its claims, it's direct in its doctrine, it's edifying in its... You're getting the picture? A, B, C, D. Well, it's really fun when you get down into Q, X, and Z, trying to find words that work. But I did, though, Brother Jim. I really did. There's a Scrabble website, and I found it. I can go all the way through Z. It's magnificent in its message. It's marvelous in its methods. It's noble in its names. It's rational in its readings. It's righteous in its reputation. It's questionless in its quantity. It's qualitative in its quarto. I had to look that up. But it was a word I could use. It meant the Word of God was true and right. Now, I looked up the Z. Its xerography is xiphoid, and its xenial is xerographical, which means basically that even though it's expansive, it
is all encompassing. Those are what those words mean. Scrabble, man, I'm telling you. And then in Z, it's zealous and it's sown and zestful and it's zip. That is what it would be like if you could read Psalm 119 in the Hebrew. It's that alphabetical play on words that teaches them their alphabet. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 9. Let's read it together, please, as a family tonight. Here we go. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto according to thy word? In every one of these, I went through all of, I was going through Psalm 119, and I was just underlining words that meant the word of God. In verse number 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. See that? Talking about his word. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Underline that. That thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. That's talking about the word of God. Verse 5. Oh, my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. That's talking about the word of God. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments. I will praise thee with the uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. See, each one of those words is talking about God's word. Every one of those, it is an understanding of his word. Because a judgment is different than a commandment and it's different than a precept or a way or a testimony. But in all, he's talking about God's word. Now, the scriptures are a blessing. That's what I put here tonight, the blessing of the scripture. I think sometimes we just take it for granted. You know, I find people's Bibles from time to time, but a lot of people don't bring them anymore. And that's your business. I'm an old school guy. Maybe you saw on Facebook, I posted old school today. But the kids are like, there's no foodie. I don't think things you have to microwave are necessarily qualified as food anymore. Is it really? It's like one molecule away from plastic. I got a bacon and eggs today, and it was called a skillet, and it's round. And I, you know what I'm saying? And you push the button, and the gas comes. Oh, it's pretty. Don't touch it. It's hot. And then, does your kids know how to cook? Holy cow. Listen, we get so used to this book laying around and falling down, and it'll get McDonald's junk all over it in the back of a car. We forget just what a blessing it is to have it. Out of 4,000 plus languages, only 1,000 and some change actually have the Word of God. Now, there's a few hundred or so more that have a piece of it. But if you go to the Bible Museum, you walk into this room where they've got bookshelf after bookshelf after bookshelf of books, and the ones that have names are actually languages the Bible's in. But then there are just scads and scads, that means lots and lots, gobs and gobs, as my Midwestern mother would say, of yellow books with no names on them, of languages without the Word of God. We forget how blessed we are to have it. When I talk to people about doing their daily devotions, it's kind of lost on people just what a blessing it is to have this Bible. So we should read it. Look at Psalm 119, verse 160. We should read this book, this Bible, because it is the source of truth. Look at Psalm 119, verse 160. The Bible says, thy word is true from the beginning. From the very moment God uttered it and said, let there be light, God's word was true. God's word was true before that. From the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. We'll talk about preservation in a moment. But this is the source of truth. This is where truth comes from. Oh, you may read Dale Carnegie and Zig Ziglar and some other people like that, but all they've done is taken God's truth and applied it in the business realm. If there's any truth to it, I'm telling you, God is the author of it. It claims to be the Word of God. This book says it's God's Word. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, if you're taking notes, it says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That means God breathed this book into men and they wrote it. Well, what did that look like? What do you mean it's inspired? Well, all of it is inspired. We refer to that as verbal inspiration, the actual words that God wanted us to have. 2 Peter 1:21 says that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Man wouldn't have wrote it even if he wanted to. The prophecy came not by will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's what inspiration is. They were moved along. They were carried along by the Holy Ghost. Now, we refer to this as verbal inspiration. That means the very words, God said what he meant. And God meant what he said. In Deuteronomy 6:6, he said, and these words. He didn't say these thoughts. Do you realize you do not think in living color? You don't think to yourself in feelings. You think to yourself in words. You talk to yourself. You really do. Your thoughts are running through your head and you're thinking to yourself in words. Because some of you just went, I don't know about that. See, you talk to yourself. Sometimes it's the only adult conversation you have. Sometimes it's the only intelligent conversation you have. But you still talk to yourself in words. God meant what he said. And God said what he meant. And he understands the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Chaldee, and he understands the Greek. And dead sure is better at English than I am. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. We call that verbal inspiration. Mark Twain said, it's not the things I don't understand that bother me in the Bible. It's the things I do understand that bother me. We refer to this not only as verbal, meaning the very words of God, because in Deuteronomy 12:28, it says, all these words you're going to do. We also refer to this as a word that you probably have not heard. It's called plenary inspiration, which means that every bit of the Bible is just as inspired as everything, as all of it. You know, the parts you don't like are just as inspired as the parts you do like. It's completely inspired. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Not the parts you like and the parts, and you can leave out the parts. No, the parts I don't like are just as inspired. We refer to that as plenary. That means when you come to this book, you don't check your brain at the door. You're actually reading truth. You're supposed to open your mind and read it and think about it. You're to read it because it is true. It's inspired. We also refer to it as inerrant. Exodus 24 and verse 4, it says that Moses copied down all of the words God gave him. That means it is recorded without error. I know I got bad handwriting. I get it. Should have been a doctor. And I realize that my grammar is terrible. If you get my birthday cards or my anniversary cards, sometimes I'll get to writing slower or faster than I'm thinking. And how many times a year I say happy anniversary when I'm supposed to say happy thing or happy birthday, or I get to just get to running and excited to write a card to you. And I know my grammar's bad, but I want you to understand that the Bible is inerrant. It has been recorded the way God wanted it, without error. To say that, though I don't know about that, is to raise yourself up above the authority of Scripture. See, I'm not playing the God game here. What I'm saying is when you read the Bible, God said it. He said, now Moses write it down, and Moses wrote it down. Now either Moses didn't do it right or Moses did do it right. Which one are you going to bank your eternity on? See, it's a credibility issue. Either God is big enough or he isn't. Either God can handle it or God can't handle it. And he needs my help. I just don't see that happening. Do you? I mean, if your eternal soul is hanging in the balance, do you want God's help or my help? See what I'm saying? So it's called inspiration. It's called plenary. That means all of it is equally inspired. That means all of it has been copied and recorded correctly. And we also refer to it as infallible, which means that its teachings, now this is important, its teachings are without error. It's infallible. It will never be proven to be false. Now you got to understand the claims the Bible is making of itself. In Proverbs 30 and verse 5, the Bible says they're pure words. It's the Bible who said the earth was round 2,000 years before Columbus. In Isaiah 40 and verse 22. It was the Bible who said that it was your blood that kept you alive 1,600 years before the birth of Christ, before we bled to death, George Washington, some 1,700 years after the birth of Christ. Do you understand? The Bible said that the life of your flesh was in your blood. The water cycle is in Ecclesiastes. How the water comes down from the mountains, goes to the river and down to the sea and returns whence it came. It's called the water cycle, written by Solomon. It talks about dinosaurs in Job 40 and 41. This Bible will not be proven false. You cannot cross a chicken with a centipede and get a Tyson's chicken with 1,000 legs. You just can't do it. Why? Because they reproduce after its own kind. And it just says, oh, by the way, the stars are innumerable, it says, and everyone differs in glory. And guess what we've proven? They're innumerable. The more we send out telescopes, the more we find. And everyone's different, and we can catalog them. Isn't that interesting? So when you're looking at the Bible, sometimes we forget what a blessing this book is. It was given to us by Almighty God. It was recorded correctly. It's all true. It will never be proven wrong. And he preserved it. In the book of Psalms, chapter 12 and verse 6, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It's preserved. That means God knew how to get it from the Hebrew into the English and not lose its power. God knew how to take it from here to Korean, you know, to Hebrew to Korean without losing its power. How to get it into Spanish, how to get it. It's still a soul-saving book. In Psalm chapter 119, look at verse 89. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In Psalm 119, verse 160, it says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures for how long? Everybody say it together, forever. That means there's never been a time when God's word wasn't on the planet. Joseph Smith was wrong. He lied. Or he's lied to. Listen up. Judge Rutherford Hayes, the guy who started the Ponzi scheme that's now referred to as the Jehovah Witnesses, was a liar, and he was wrong, and he was in it for the money. But his claims were that the word of God was corrupted and he had to fix it. No, that's a lie. Belched up from the pit of hell that God's word wasn't true. It's true. You are holding eternity. You know, we look all kinds of crazy things up on the internet. We do. I looked up how to find X's and words that start with X and words that start with Z so I could make up some funny mnemonic. But the truth is, I'm holding the truth of eternity. And I forget sometimes. That's what I carry around in my backpack. See, it's a question of authority. People say, well, how do you know? I mean, well, how do you know you're doing what's right? Well, I'm not perfect, so Pastor Mix, I'm always having to check the scripture. Why? Because I'm not doing it right all the time. But Jesus said not one jot or one tittle would pass from the law till all be fulfilled. That everything he said would endure. And it has. See, it's a question of authority. You belong to a church who believes there's no higher authority than the Bible. Your pastor is not your authority. The deacon is not your authority. The trustees are not your authority. Some ecclesiastical organization is not your authority. The book's your authority. This is true. You hang out with me, you're going to find out, I'm going to mess up. But that book, it doesn't mess up. It's true. That's why we need to read it. We need to read what it says. We need to revere it as the Word of God, because in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it is that exactly. Let me read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Listen to what it says. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men. You didn't look at it with skepticism, but as in truth, the Word of God. You took this and you understood it, that's exactly what it is. When you let this book speak to you, it'll change you. It'll make your life different. If you hear tomorrow that Pastor Mix was dead drunk in a sewer and I'm out of the ministry, that book's still true. Your favorite preacher goes into sin, doesn't matter. That book's still true. Everything it taught, everything you learned by it, the man who led me to the Lord is no longer in the ministry. Does that mean everything that book taught me is wrong? No. Does that mean everything he taught me out of that book is wrong? No. It's true. It is timeless. It's powerful. You are holding eternity in your hands, something God wanted you to have. Why do you think it changes lives? Why do you think your flesh hates it? Why do you think it that your flesh doesn't want you to read it? Why do you think your flesh doesn't want you to consume it and write it upon your heart? Because it's counter your flesh. It's eternity. It's from God. So we need to read it and receive it daily. In Deuteronomy 17, 19, it says we're to consume it all of our days. Every day of our life, we're to consume it. So when I ask you guys to do your devotions, I'm not asking you to read some book that is outdated and antiquated, as we'll see in a moment. I'm asking you to read a life-changing book that's directly from the one who saved you. The love letter from the person who saved you. Number two, besides reading it, you need to reason it. Look at Psalm 119, verse 95. Look what it says in verse 95. Let's read it together, please. Verse number 95. Everybody find it. Here we go. You found it. Say amen. Here we go. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. That means I got to think about it. I want you not only to read it, I want you to think about this book. I want, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. How do I do that? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Taking the Bible and dissecting it and defining the words I don't understand and taking it apart, unpacking it, and thinking about it. Doing the same thing you learned in English, the who, what, when, where, why, and how of the scripture. Who is it that's actually speaking at that moment when you're reading? Who are they speaking to? What are they speaking about? When were they speaking? Is this before the cross? Is this before Moses wrote the five books? Is this after the final? Is it at the end in the Revelation when all the rest of the scripture has been written and this is the end cap? When was it written? Now, take the Bible as an... Now, look, I realize this is not just one book. It's 66 different books. But when you're trying to study something, take it as an entire body of work at once. The Holy Spirit, who is the author of it all, will not misquote himself, nor will he contradict himself. So what was written in Haggai is just as true without contradicting Paul in 2 Timothy. What was written in Genesis will not contradict Revelation at the end. The Holy Spirit is the author of it all. So when you read it, you must think about it. Now, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:20 that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Well, what does that mean? That means the Bible explains itself. The more you read it, you write something and say, I don't understand that. And you put a question mark there. You keep reading and sooner or later, you're going to come across something that goes, oh, I get it now. I see it. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says, verse 12, now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. We have the Holy Spirit. That we might know, we have the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we might know the things which are freely given to us. Which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now listen, I have the Spirit of God, so I'll know what is freely given to me, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. When you're reading the Bible, interpret the things that are vague in the light of the things that are clear. So when you read one or two verses that say, well, be baptized, you know, believe and be baptized, don't forget to take that into the entire case where there's over 100 other verses that say, just believe. What is clear? Let that be your guide stone for everything that's kind of vague. Because the things that the Holy Spirit wrote, he will not contradict himself. So it's its own best commentary. So not only read it, not only think about it. Number three, you need to ruminate on it. You need to memorize it. Look at verse number 11, Psalm 119, verse 11. Look at it now. We're going to read it together. Psalm 119 and verse number 11. Let's look at it now. Everybody find it. Everybody stay with me. Verse number 11. We have forgotten how precious this book is. We've forgotten it. Look at verse 11. Let's read it. Here we go. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to memorize it and meditate upon it. Psalm 1:3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditating, I want you to get a visual picture of a cow. You know, a cow has a segmented stomach, and it'll puke up stuff, and he'll chew on it every now and again. Kind of like we look like when we're chewing gum. I'm not looking at you. Okay, so as you're chewing gum and you're running that bazooka over and over and over in your mouth, you're ruminating on it. That's what you do with the Word of God. You say it over and over again. You think it through. You think it through. What are you saying to me? Is this a promise I need to keep or to claim? Is this a command I need to obey? Is this a principle I need to follow? Is this a view of the world I need to look at the world through? Take your Bible in Psalm 119 and look at 97. Genuine wisdom. Look at verse 97. Genuine wisdom comes from studying God's Word. 97 and 98. Look at it. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. His commandments are ever with him. That studying God's word gives us wisdom. Number two, look at verse 99 and 100. Only the one who obeys the word actually understands it. Look at verse 99 and 100. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. You want to understand the word? Obey it. And you will understand it. Because there's some things you really just won't grasp until you see it played out. For instance, the phrase, a soft answer turneth away wrath. When you actually have somebody up in your face and you maintain your composure, your professionalism, your decorum, and you speak intelligently without malice, but directly, you're going to find that person getting out of your face. But you won't actually experience it unless you obey it. See, there are things that you won't actually see played out unless you obey the word. So number one, you understand that genuine wisdom only comes from studying of the word. Number two, only the person who obeys it is really going to understand it. Number three, look at verse 101 and 102. There is safety in this word. Look at 101. I have refrained my feet from evil every way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. There is true safety in divine truth. God wrote it for our need. We needed it. He didn't frivolously put this down. He wrote it to protect us. He wrote it to prepare us. He wrote it to propel us in life and make us a success. It was for our divine need. And lastly, divine truth is not something to be contemplated at a distance, but to be grappled with, wrestled with in the arena of everyday life. Look at verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. True wisdom depends on our obedience. That's why when you read it, you also have to consider what you're reading. Think about it. Then you've got to ruminate on it. You need to run it over in your mind and ask yourself questions. Who's talking? Who are they talking to? What are they talking about? Is this a promise? Is this a command? Is this a precept I need to view the world through? And then I need to relate it to myself. Back in verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. I need to relate it to myself. How does this apply to me, Lord? How does this work for me? See, because the Bible in James, it says that the Bible's a mirror. That if you'll look into the Word of God, you will see yourself clearly in James 1:23 through 25. It's also a seed. It is the life-giving book in 1 Peter 1:23. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, verse 105 of Psalm 119. In Jeremiah 23, as you're coming up on your devotions in adult Sunday school, you're going to find that the Word of God is a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces and is a fire. It's a tree. It's a prospering book in Proverbs 3. It's also a cleansing book. It's like water. When you read it, it's like cleansing you on the inside, John 15. It nourishes you in 1 Peter 2. In Hebrews 4:12, though, it says it's a sword. It says the word is quick. That means it's alive. This book is alive. Miss Key, put up Hebrews 4:12, please, on the screen. Hebrews 4:12, let them see it. Hebrews 4:12, please, Sister Key. The word of God is quick and powerful. Miss Key, do you see it? Hebrews 4:12. Look it up in your Bible. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick. Quick. That means alive. It's a convicting book. That means it's applicable in every age. That means from the time of Adam all the way up through to the end of time, it applies to you. It applies to me. It's quick. It's alive. It's quick. It's powerful. I want you to understand, it not only applies in every age, but it applies at every age. From childhood all the way to the grave, it applies. If you're 20 or if you're 20 months or if you're 200 years old, it still applies to you. It doesn't matter how old you are. This book applies. It's quick. It's powerful. The worlds were framed by it, Hebrews 11:3 says. Psalm 119, verse 9 says it cleanses our way. Look at verse 22. It says it keeps us from sin. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. In verse 116, it holds me up. Look at that. Psalm 119, verse 116. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. In verse 133, look at it. It orders my steps and tells me how to walk. Look at it, verse 133. It says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have domain over me. Look at verse 162. It rejoices my heart. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Everybody stop and look at 165. I want you all to read it with me right now. Here we go. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So when I get that phone call, and your shoelaces are a bit too tight, and you decide you're upset about something, I know you're not in your book. I love you. But I don't get to go off on you like that, do I? Because great peace have they, pastor loves thy law, and pastor should not get offended at them. I love you. But if you want to keep from being offended at your brother, look, Christians are like porcupines, y'all. When we cuddle up and get close, we hurt each other sometimes. We don't mean to. But great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I love you. But when your shoes are a bit too tight some morning and you're about to go off on somebody, you need to find, you need to ask yourself, have I been in the Word today? Don't think so. Look, Christians aren't perfect. We're just forgiven. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. I forget your birthday. I write happy anniversary on your birthday card sometimes because I'm not thinking or I'm trying. I've got so many things going on. It's not right. I should have my head in the game, but sometimes I get it wrong. And sometimes I forget things or sometimes I say something. But great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, it's not just Uncle Sam that moves people out of our church. It's not. It's rare it's a doctrinal issue. Majority of the time, it's a personal issue. Either it's a problem with their character or a problem with some baggage they are not ready to deal with yet. And it's not a good fit or I don't know. And they're happy for a while. Things just don't go right. We didn't live up to whatever expectation they forgot to voice. But great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I know if I get offended, it's because I'm not in my book like I should. I'm not walking with my Lord like I should. And the truth is, we get wrapped up in our ego
so much of the time that we lose sight that it's really God who's in charge. It's not the title of our position, because all of us have the same title, and that's servant. That's it. My brothers and sisters, this book is forgotten, and we've lost the fact that it's a blessing. And that's because we were reading in Hebrews 4, it says, the word of God is quick, means it's alive. It's powerful, never loses its mojo, trust me. The Holy Spirit of God applies it when you're 12 or 20 or 200, or whether you're a baby or right next to the grave, it still applies. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So that means it cuts going in and it cuts coming out. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing of sunder, the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner. Now, this is the part we don't like. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God has a way of bringing out our true motives, and sometimes they're really selfish and ugly. And when we're not in the book because we don't want to face the fact that our motives and intentions are selfish and ugly, we stop reading it. We start taking it for granted. Countless millions of people do not have a Bible. They don't have it. They don't have it in their language. If they do, they can't afford it. You know, this Bible is not an academic exercise. You know, maybe you like Shakespeare, maybe you don't like Shakespeare. But having you read the classics, I always wanted to have a classical education. You know, Sister Rizzo, I always wanted to be able to say that I could read the classics, Chaucer and Charlemagne and all these things. Just so I could impress people, I would like to be able to quote really great people or whatever. But the truth is, this book is timeless and from our God. And it's not just an academic exercise for me to have an ego. It really is my lifeblood, the bread that I eat. It's the light to my path. It is what has saved me. I'm saved by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. This really is your love letter from God. It not only needs to be read and related and considered, it needs to be told and revealed to other people. That's what it needs to be done with it. It needs to be given out, so that others can come to the truth as we have. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. When you're giving advice, refer to the Bible. When you're giving direction, refer to the Bible. When you're rebuking or correcting, refer to the Bible. When you're comforting someone, refer to the Bible. When you're wondering why people do the dumb things or the things that don't make sense in life, refer to the Bible, and it'll all be made plain. Our Father and our God, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful, God, that it is not truly forgotten. It's here with us, and that we can put our faith and trust in what it says. And Father, tonight, in just the quiet and the moment, I ask God, as Ms. Mix plays, that our hearts would be open, that you would surgically use the Bible. Do surgery on our heart, O Lord, tonight. Cut away that which is dead and that which is lifeless, and keeping true life from forming. Speak, and we'll respond in Jesus' name. Amen. As she plays and sings, the altar's open tonight, my brothers and sisters. Let's use it tonight.
Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm a mess and so are you. built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do. Bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine, 'cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're all honest, if we're honest, don't pretend to be something that you're not, living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross, at the cross. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine, 'cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest.
Our Father and our God, we truly are blessed people to have the Word in our language. We are truly blessed people, Father, that our lives are slow enough, really, that we can take the time and read, that we really can take the time and be with you. Father, remind us, stir us from our complacency. Father, enliven within us your grace and your burden for your word and for your presence. And we'll praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.